Hello, everyone, and welcome to minute 45 of season 4 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we take a hilarious and poignant journey through the 1989 Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan rom com When Harry Met Sally, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today to finish off the week is Dr. Jess Rogers. Welcome back to the show, Jess.
Thanks, Rob. It's great to be here.
Yes, it is. It's a lot of fun.
It is.
Yes. I'm having a blast. Hopefully you've been enjoying this week also. And
it's been a good week.
And more importantly, hopefully all of our listeners are enjoying it too.
Yes.
Let's hope. So minute 45 begins with Jess getting back into the batter's box and ends with Sally playing with her food. So yesterday we ended things. You know, Harry and Jess started having their conversation in the batting cage. And Harry is now explaining why it's so freeing and so enjoyable for him to have a friend like Sally, and why it's important for him to do so. And Jess doesn't seem to understand it. You know, it doesn't make any sense to him as to what Harry feels is missing in his, you know, in his life that he needs this.
Right.
So Harry then tries to explain it a little bit more. So he ended yesterday's minute by saying, "I can say anything to her." And then he continues with Jess saying, "Are you saying you can say things to her that you can't say to me?" So I think he sounds a little offended by that. You know?
Yeah, I think he is.
Like
friend competition.
Yeah, exactly. He's jealous, offended. You know, at this point, Harry responds in a calm way and says, "No, it's just different. It's a whole different perspective. I get the woman's point of view on things. She tells me about the men that she goes out with, and I can talk to her about the women that I see." And then Jess is completely thrown off by this and goes, "You tell her about other women?" Like, he says it in a way like, "How dare you do something like that?" You know? It's just, I mean, I actually buy Harry's explanation of the whole thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, Jess just doesn't get it. You know, like, why?
Yeah.
You know, it's ironic. I mean, we'll never know this, but, you know, in 2 weeks from now, so Jess will meet Marie and, you know, his life will be changed.
Right.
The question is, how does Jess feel at that point about, you know, actually, Marie's not his friend that he talks about dating other women. So, okay, doesn't really fit into that. But, you know, but he does have a female confidant to talk about everything.
Yeah. Yeah. No. But not other women.
No.
That wouldn't work for Jess and Marie.
Who knows? We never know if Marie, when she broke up with Arthur.
True. You know,
she might
Fair.
Still be going out with
That's
Arthur.
That's true.
You know, and Jess just doesn't know because he's eventually going to leave his wife. Who knows?
Yeah. Right.
And then Harry responds and says, "Yeah, like the other night. I made love to this woman, and it was so incredible. I took her to a place that wasn't human. She actually meowed." Now, I have a problem with the way that he's saying this line. I mean, the first thing is it's very self-centered, you know, because he says, "I took her to a place."
Yes.
You know, I'm completely. The manly man, and I'm the one who's able to do things and stuff like that. Now, this is something that you would think that he would be bragging to Jess about.
Sure.
If he's going to brag, then, you know, why didn't he pick up the phone a few days ago and tell this to Jess? Why does he have to wait until he's in the batting cage? It already is showing that Harry's relationship with Jess is changing because of Harry's relationship with Sally. You know, he's letting Sally into things about his life. And at the same time, he doesn't feel the necessity to inform Jess about these things. Which.
Yeah,
which it's odd because it's not a relationship. If like I can say to myself, okay, well, there are things that I will say to my wife, then, you know, that when I was single, I would have said to a friend instead. Okay. But now that I'm married, so I'll say to her, and then I don't feel the need to have to say it to anybody else. But Harry and Sally are not in that situation even remotely because, or they might be, but they're just kidding themselves that they're not, you know, there's, you know, as far as they're concerned, you know, the conversations and stuff like that is they're just best friends. And once Harry tells her something, he doesn't feel the need to say it to Jess. unless he's saying it right now to try and justify himself on the one hand, and second, to boast, you know, which he's doing. Because he can't boast to Sally about it, if that's what he's looking to do.
Right. But he clearly told Sally this same story. And,
yeah.
Right, I can say these things to her. And it's like...
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not sure you should, right? Like, there's an element of that it's definitely hurting, in some ways, Harry's relationship with Jess, that he's now telling these kinds mm-hmm. of things, like you're saying, not to Jess, but to Sally. And so, I mean... You can sort of see it the reverse way. If Harry and Sally were a married couple and there were secrets that he was telling Jess and not Sally, correct. That would disrupt his married right. relationship as well.
Exactly.
Different kinds of secrets or comments
right.
that you're getting but things in different
but
places.
But since they're not in a relationship, but that's why.
It's interesting. I think,
and again, this is something that's just a few weeks right. old.
Yes.
You know, it isn't like it's 6 months later or anything like that. I mean,
yes.
we get to the point where you know, they're talking.
Right.
They're together for like a year and stuff like that. I mean, that's, you know, we'll get there and we'll see how things change at that point also.
Right.
But this is, you know, a budding friendship between Harry and Sally.
Yeah. And I think the first comment that Jess makes is the real telling version that
yeah.
he does think that this is a competition of sorts.
Yeah,
that
like I was your best friend. Why are you telling Sally, you know, this information? This is something right. you're supposed to tell me. You know, but again, Harry does give a justifiable
right.
explanation that you know when he says it to Sally, Sally will give a female yeah. perspective on things. I don't know what type of female perspective she's going to give on the little story that he right. just told. You know?
Right. Although we get a little glimpse of it at the end
bit.
Of this
minute. No, but yeah. but of him telling, you know, like if he would have said to Sally, I made a woman meow. And Sally would have just said, okay, so.
Yeah.
You know, like,
right.
She wouldn't be as impressed as Jess is.
Well.
Jess is impressed.
No, yeah. you're right.
You know, Jess
is impressed.
He's completely
he's distractedly
distracted.
Impressed.
He turns
yes.
to, you know, after he turns to Harry and says, you made a woman meow. And that's it. He's no yeah. longer in the batting cage. He's
like, right. The balls are flying by.
Yes.
He's just not paying attention.
Right. Over the course of the rest of this minute, we see at least two more, if not more than that, balls that just go right by.
Yeah.
He's not paying attention anymore. He's thinking, how did Harry make this woman meow?
Yes, that's all he's thinking.
Yeah. Then Harry responds to him and says, yeah, that's the point. I can say these things to her. And the great thing is I don't have to lie because I'm not always thinking about how to get her into bed, which gives us a lot of insight into Harry's way of thinking.
Yeah.
In order to get anyone into bed, he's just going to have to lie to them.
Right. That he's thinking about ways to not be himself.
Correct.
Right.
And he says, I can just be myself. That's right. You know, which also is very telling about Harry. Harry is looking, you know, he's looking for ways to not be himself.
Yeah. And in all the different ways to not be himself that would entice someone to go to bed with him. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's interesting because he is saying that it's ironic because he says that he's not being himself, but he actually is being himself because this is the Harry Burns that he has created
right.
that you need to lie to every woman. You know, that is who he is now.
Right.
Or maybe he's trying to say that that's not who he is because deep down he doesn't act that way. But if he, I don't know.
I don't know.
I think he needs to go to a shrink.
I think we're seeing a lot of Harry is kind of a pig. Like,
yes.
Yeah. But he's willing
yeah,
to admit
sure.
it at least, especially to his friend
yes.
Jess. And one of the things he values about his friendship with Sally is that he doesn't have to think up lies. He doesn't have to go with subterfuge to try to trick her is what it sounds like into going to bed with him. So,
right.
yeah.
Right. Then I like it. I like the way that it goes.
Yeah.
The way that they do that here. And Jess is still mesmerized. And as the scene is ending, he says once again, you made a woman meow.
Meow. I know. He's just incredulous. He's just, that's all he heard from that whole conversation.
That's right.
Yeah.
I didn't hear anything else. I'm a writer. I know dialogue, but you know,
right.
you mentioned a woman meowing and okay, now I'm curious.
Yeah.
You know.
It's true.
And the scene changes, and we are in a diner deli. The first of all, they do a great job of having the camera pan across the various tables of people, and we see all these different things that are happening around them. We can see an older couple that are sitting at a table, and they're both drinking Dr. Brown soda. One has a cream Dr. Brown's, and the other's a black cherry. I know those cans, which is why I didn't have to try to zoom in and figure out what they are.
Right.
Are you familiar with Dr. Brown's?
I am. I've had them.
Do you know when Dr. Brown's became when they started it?
I don't know enough. I don't know anything about it, actually. I've had them, but I don't know them.
Okay, so Dr. Brown's is a soft drink brand that was made by J&R Bottling. It is very popular in New York and in South Florida.
Whoa.
But you can also find it in many Jewish delicatessens.
Sure, which
Uh,
this
you can even
is.
find it in Israel. You can find it in Israel. I buy it. I have
Oh,
in my fridge 2 cans of Dr. Brown's Israel
wow. No way.
that I love. Yeah. I love drinking Dr. Brown's.
Cool.
Basically, the slogans for the products are imported from the old neighborhood or taste of the town. It was created in 1869.
Whoa.
And
In
yeah,
New York?
in New York, mostly in Jewish neighborhoods.
Sure.
One of the flavors that they have is called Celray, which I never liked. It was really gross
Okay.
from my perspective. And it basically, they use celery seeds and sugar.
Yeah.
And they created a celery tonic that was known as Celray,
Okay.
which was known as the pure beverage for the nerves.
Oh. Sold by Dr. Brown. It's got to be true.
Yeah, but they claim that there really is no person named Dr. Brown.
Oh,
It
really?
was just a marketing invention. Yeah, before Coca-Cola was certified kosher in the 1930s, so Jews would only drink the Dr. Browns.
Oh, wow. I was going to ask if it was kosher, and that's why.
Well, I said I have it in my fridge, so therefore it must be kosher.
Fair.
Actually, you don't know that I only keep kosher, so
I
there,
didn't yet,
yes.
no.
Okay, now you know. Now you know. And there are six Dr. Brown flavors that are packaged in New York. Since 2014, it's been produced by Pepsi.
Okay.
So the brands they the flavors they have are cream soda, black cherry,
Right.
orange soda, ginger ale, root beer, celery. They used to have cola, grape, lemon, and club soda.
Okay.
And they're mostly sold in 12-ounce cans. Now, in the movie, can see a sign on the back
Yeah.
that says it's 80 cents for a Dr. Brown soda.
That's cool.
It costs a little more than 80 cents today.
I would expect so, yeah.
First of all, if you want, with inflation, the 80 cents is now worth $2.06 in 2023.
Whoa,
Now,
really?
yes. I mean, again, this is 1988. So, 30,
Sure.
35 years, for to bump up almost 3 times
Okay.
as expensive. I don't know exactly how much it costs now, but it's definitely around that price. They are actually in Katz's Delicatessen, which is also known as Katz's of New York City, which is a
Yeah.
kosher style delicatessen located on Houston Street.
Houston.
Houston, sorry. In the
It's
corner
spelled
of,
the exact same.
you're right, you're right, you're right, you're right. The corner of Houston and Ludlow in the Lower East Side. It is a kosher style delicatessen. It is not a kosher delicatessen.
No.
Each week, they serve 15,000 pounds of pastrami, 8,000
Yep.
pounds of corned beef, 2,000 pounds of salami, 4,000 hot dogs. In 2016, it got a food rating of 4.5 out of 5 by Zagat, I don't know how that's pronounced. And it was
Zagat.
Zagat, okay. It was ranked as the number one deli in New York.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. It
Yeah.
is.
Do you know when the delicatessen was opened?
I don't.
In 1903.
Whoa, that is much older than I would have expected.
Yes. I mean the name changed a little bit over time
Sure.
because it was first known as the Iceland Brothers, then Iceland and Katz, and then they changed it to Katz's Deli.
Yep.
It only moved to Houston Street in the 1930s, where it's still in the same place that it's been.
That's what I was just going to wonder if it had been affected by the pandemic and had any issues. But I do remember seeing it when I was there in the spring because my friends lived down the street.
Now now we can see a sign as it's panning through the room. We see a sign for something that says, "Send a salami to your boy in the army." Did you notice that by chance?
No, I didn't. Oh, yeah, it's I see it now.
Yes.
Send the salami
So,
to your boy in the army.
yes. So I noticed it and I did a quick search for that also. So during World War II, the sons of both the owners, Lenny Katz and Izzy Tarowski, they were both serving in the armed forces. and the family tradition of sending food to their sons became established as the company slogan, "Send the salami to your boy in the army." The slogan was coined by Izzy's mother, whose son served in the South Pacific as a bomber pilot.
Wow.
So I just find it really interesting that they still have that sign, at least in 1988. Yeah. They still have the sign there. I don't know if it's still there today. My assumption is it is.
Yeah, probably.
They opened a second location in 2017 in the City Point DeKalb Market Hall in downtown Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's very, very interesting. Now, the phrase, "send a salami to your boy in the army," is part of the lyrics of a song. So basically, the song was used in the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis movie in 1950, known as "At War with the Army." And yeah, and you have Tom. You're familiar with Tom Lehrer?
Yeah, the news person.
No. Tom Lehrer was a he did satirical songs in the 60s, like "Poisoning Pigeons in the Park."
No,
and the "Element Song." Oh, there's some great songs. I used to love listening to Tom Lehrer stuff. And so he has a song called "So Long, Mom," and it says, "Remember, Mommy, I'm off to get a commie, so send me a salami and try to smile somehow."
Wow.
So that makes sense there. Yeah, they actually now have special international shipping for U.S. military addresses
only.
Oh,
wow.
And people have sent gift packages to troops that were stationed in Afghanistan and Iraq, you know, directly mm-hmm. from there. And the catchphrase of the deli is "Katz's, that's all."
It's on the napkins.
Obviously, this movie has made Delhi a landmark.
For sure.
In addition, the movie Donnie Brasco has a scene that takes place in Delhi. In the movie Across the Universe, there's a scene that takes place there where one of the characters mentions the fact that he's been drafted into Vietnam. Appears in the movie We Own the Night with Joaquin Phoenix, Mark Wahlberg from 2007. What other movies is it in? There's a documentary about it called Delhi Man. It's also featured in the Edward Burns movie from 2004. Called Looking for Kitty. Okay. Film Contract on Cherry Street, about someone trying to put out a contract on Frank Sinatra's character in the movie, took place in Katz's. And in the movie Enchanted, one of the characters goes into the kitchen at Katz's in order to get in touch with Queen Nerissa, Susan Sarandon.
Well, that's funny. I'd forgotten that was Katz's.
Yeah.
The movie makes it look a lot bigger than the deli actually is. It's really narrow, but it does have a very long counter. It's right on the corner of the street, too, so you can see into a lot of it.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. So we continue with the panning, and then we get to the shot of Harry and Sally actually sitting at a table in the deli, having presumably lunch. That's what I would think. And the two of them have their sandwiches already in front of them. And the waiter comes over, which I wonder if this is like Katz himself or something like that. You know, the owner who's coming over and giving them. And he like brings them what looks like two little salads.
Yeah, little things of potato salad or something. Like that.
Harry is already eating, but Sally just has her plate in front of her. And she does something really, really strange as they're talking. I don't know if you noticed it, but she like, starts picking apart her sandwich. She takes like the top piece of bread off and then with her hands moves each piece of the deli from one side to the other. I don't know what she's trying to do. Maybe on Monday we'll be able to figure out exactly what it is she's trying to do here.
I think she's making a smaller sandwich. Like the sandwiches from Katz's are like 4 inches thick, full of meat and stuff. And so maybe she just wants it exactly like she wants it.
Okay, but she still puts 5 pieces of turkey roll onto her bread.
Yes, she definitely does.
So, again, if you're saying that it's a large sandwich and it usually is 10 pieces of and now it's only 5, okay. So I can understand that also. So their conversation is very interesting. You know, it's great having this conversation right after the conversation with Jess. You know, it goes back to what you were talking about yesterday, that, you know, if you were to switch the conversations as to who's speaking to whom, you know, in which place. So this is basically giving us an opportunity to see Harry and Sally actually talking about Harry's piggish, you know, relationship persona, I guess you can say. And so what she, and again, it picks up in the middle of a conversation, which again is great.
Yep.
And Sally goes, so what do you do with these women? You just get out of bed and leave? And Harry goes, sure. Well, explain to me how you do it. What do you say? Ah, I just say I have an early meeting, early haircut, early squash game. But you don't play squash. They don't know that. They just met me. That's disgusting. I know. I feel terrible. You know, I'm so glad I never got involved with you. I just would have ended being some woman you had to get up and out of bed and leave, and then it gets cut off. We'll have to find out why he's leaving on Monday. But
yeah,
but it's very telling. I mean, do you think he's being sincere when he says I feel terrible about it? I don't think so.
No, I think the tone of his voice is very much like, yeah, I feel terrible getting out of bed after just having had sex.
Correct. And not sticking around, you know, not saying, because I have to get an early haircut. I have to get I have a squash game. I have an early meeting. You know, he knows his excuses very well.
Yeah. And Sally, I like that Sally's saying, she's willing to say that's disgusting. Not that we are not friends. I disown you for this disgusting behavior. Just, I'm telling you, this is disgusting.
Yeah. She's not judging him, but she's still pointing it out to him, which again is what a friend should be doing.
Right.
You know, a friend should be telling you, okay, I don't necessarily agree with what you're doing. You can do it. That's fine.
Right.
But here's my perspective on it as to why you shouldn't be doing it. No.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very honest back and forth.
Yes. Definitely is.
Which is why Harry was sort of asking for.
On the one hand, he's asking for it, but she's the one who brings up the conversation here. So do you think that she's...
Yeah.
Because she's trying to understand, you know, what's going through his mind and why he does this. You know, what makes Harry tick that he constantly wants to do this? You know, that he wants to find excuses each time.
Right. And I think there's a little bit of Sally that's sort of like... testing back to her memory of her dates where she slept with someone, like, oh, are all guys doing this? Has someone done this to me? Like, oh, wow, this is just a thing maybe guys do.
Right.
And it's just a little different. Like, she's sort of getting this glimpse into guy behavior instead of how her version of what normal.
You have anything else you want to say before we get into the script?
No. I'm all set.
All right. So the script is pretty close. There's just a few little things that I liked it that in the script itself, it has direction where, you know, it talks about that each of them is taking bites of their sandwich as they're talking. You know, like it'll say, Sally says, explain to me how you do it. What do you say? And then it says she takes a bite of the sandwich. And then Harry says, I know, I feel terrible. Takes a bite of the sandwich. You know, things like that to help accentuate, you know, the fact that, you know, that they're still in the middle of this conversation, but, you know, Harry doesn't care. You know, when he says, I know, I feel terrible, it's even worse if he's taking a bite of the sandwich at the same time. It shows his insincerity.
Right. And I like that they changed a little bit of that direction to Sally being her neurotic self of reorganizing the sandwich to be exactly what she wants. So she doesn't take a bite until next week, but it's part of her like performance of making a meal
completely. So it worked,
and it's really nice. It's accentuating how they do each thing.
Correct. So every Friday we have a segment called Weekend Romance, where my guests will give their top five romantic comedy films. So Jess, what have you got for us? Start with your number five and work your way up.
So there's no like super version of justifying these, in the sense that not all rom-coms are even good movies. It's just about whether the individual one sort of works for you. So my number five is Just Right with Queen Latifah and Common. And he's a basketball player and she's the physical therapist who has to help him get over his injury. And there's a lot of the, oh, why would a guy like him fall for a girl like me kind of dynamic. But then of course they overcome because she's Queen Latifah and it's awesome. And they're very sweet and they have really good chemistry, which is basically the premise of most of these. Number four is Always Be My Maybe with Ali Wong and Randall Park. I think it was a straight to Netflix movie a couple of years ago. Actually, in terms of my other podcasting work, I actually did a stint talking about Always Be My Maybe on Cinema Access Courtney Small's podcast. So if you want to hear more about me talking about Always Be My Maybe, it exists somewhere. Just thought of that. Basically, she and he dated in high school, but then he went on to stay at home and not do much big with his life. And she went on to become this famous chef and do all these things. And they get back together and realize, oh, maybe there was a reason we started out together in the first place. Number three, I think it's a good rom-com on its own, but it's like accentuated by taking place around Christmas and New Year's and Hanukkah, all of which come into play in the movie, called Holiday, with the two couples. So you've got Jude Law and Cameron Diaz, and then Kate Winslet and Jack Black. And they're in different places, and it's got the dynamics of a holiday. It's got the dynamics of being on vacation in different places. And I love Kate Winslet's dynamic with Eli Wallach as this, like, Hollywood writer from the 30s and 40s, early Hollywood, the golden age, and getting to know them. They're just nice dynamics with all of them, and they kind of make a cool play on it. They make Hanukkah fettuccine, they have Christmas celebration decorations, they have New Year's Day parties, so it's a little bit of everything going on. My number two is Notting Hill, because realistically, I'm always just a girl standing in front of a boy, and I love that movie. I've loved it since it came out when I was in college, and it's, I don't know, I've never found anything. And Reese Davis, as, I think this is his last name, as the roommate,
completely off the wall,
idiot all the time. Well, all the time. Every time he's smoking with the goggles on, and the smoke just fills the goggles, I lose it. It's the stupidest little moment, but it's just off-putting in the whole movie. And then my number one is, and always will be, 10 Things I Hate About You. The play on the Taming of the Shrew for Shakespeare, but set in a high school. And it knows what it's doing, trying to play on Shakespeare, but it's just really, and it's another movie that my partner and I quote fairly regularly. So the idea that, can you ever just be whelmed instead of overwhelmed or underwhelmed? Can you ever just be whelmed?
Wow.
So it comes up. So that's
great. Okay. Thank you very much for that. So do you want to tell people once again how they can get in touch with you?
Well, apparently they can find me talking about a rom-com at Cinema Access and on Twitter @in_entertain.
And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook, find me on Twitter, or you can go directly to my website, movierobminute.com. So Jess, thank you very much for joining me this week. This has been a very fun week. I've enjoyed myself. Hopefully you have too.
Yes. I can't wait to listen to the rest of the minutes about this movie. I got to tune in.
All right. There you go. There you go. You might as well just jump right in and do that.
Awesome.
Great. Everyone have a great weekend. I will be back on Monday with a new guest. We will actually even hit the midway point of this movie. So until Monday, I'll have what she's having.
I'll have what she's having.
Gave me a thrill with all your faults. I love you still. It had to be you. Wonderful you, had to be you.